The word of God we have this morning, I thought it'd be good if you all said it together so we can actually take it in rather than just listen to me. So let's speak this out together.
Do everything you found out from me. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose.
Next one, John.
For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life.
And the last two.
And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith,
I am glad
and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me.
Quite strong words from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. We've been looking at them, and here we are now looking at this chapter 2. And Paul is setting out what our response should be to the word of truth. God calls us to be like Jesus. I don't know, it's easy to say that. I wonder how you receive that. That God calls us, you and me, to be like Jesus. It's quite a challenge, isn't it? I think it is. So how do we do that? Well, firstly, I think it's important that we secure the welfare of our souls. Sounds old-fashioned, doesn't it? That we take care of our best interests, and that is to be like Jesus. We need that to be constantly in front of us as we go through life. And what is the soul? Well, I believe it's that part of the body within us that is unseen but very real. It is the part of our being that is the innermost part of our being. And therein lies our faith. Surgeons cannot find it, and they certainly can't remove it. It's that part of you and me that is essentially us. Our faith, our conscience, our innermost feelings. Not visible, but very much there. It's the essential you, the essential me. And listen to what Jesus says in the Bible about the soul. Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but not the soul. When we are saved, our soul is secure in Jesus, in God's love. Jesus was killed on the cross. They could not kill his soul. Matthew 16:26. What profit is to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Again, very important for today to remind ourselves that when we go to be with God, we can't take our money with us, we can't take our wealth. We can't take our homes or our gardens or anything else. Money or possessions, we will not be able to take into heaven. So again, it comes back to looking after our soul, essentially who we are. Not what we've got or what we can buy or anything else, but essentially who we are. Matthew 22:37, words you all know very well. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. It's all about the love of God, isn't it, in our hearts? About the faith of Jesus day by day as we live a Christian life. About our thoughts. So often I think we think that nobody knows what we're thinking. News, God does. And again, I think that's quite a cautionary word to us. We actually do take care of how we think and how we look and how we behave. Secure the welfare of your soul. Our whole being is essential and important to God. And this leads us on. It says, never mind judging others. Do you know, all these words from this letter are quite hard-hitting, I think. We have enough, I think, to look after, to looking after our souls without judging what other people are doing. That takes great care, and we need to be careful how we live. We need to be circumspect. It's a good long word, isn't it? It's not a word you hear or see printed or used very much today. What does it mean to walk circumspectly? Well, I want you to imagine some houses with a brick wall going dividing two houses, right? The houses joined together. And on the top of the wall, you've seen this many times, there's pieces of glass placed like that all the way along so that people can't climb over. You watch a cat walk down that wall. It doesn't draw blood. It doesn't stand on the glass. It is very careful how it puts and places each foot. And that, to me, is a very strong and special language for us. We need to be careful how we walk, what we say, what we do. We need that same care and attention to walking with Jesus, not letting everything else just flood over us and run away. To have a godly fear is a great guard, I think, against temptation. I'm sure none of you here ever get tempted, but for those of us who do, godly fear is a great guard against temptation. I think it's a great guard against evil, doing wrong things. It's a guard against wrong thoughts. I'd be horrified sometimes if you can imagine that out there now, blank, and God listed up there what I was actually thinking at any one time. Have you ever thought about that for yourself? If you had what you thought throughout the week going up on the screen there. Yeah, it doesn't make me smile, I'm afraid. I think it's good that we live like those who have a godly fear, godly behaviour, a godly temper. And it's the grace of God which guides us. It's the Holy Spirit within us that guides us and leads us to live that life. Remember that whatever you're doing, wherever you are, wherever you're going, the Lord is with you. Again, too, I think that's quite a good reminder for us in our daily lives. God is at work within us. And as we walk with him, he'll help us in all the things that we're trying to do. Another cautionary word, be sure that your conversation doesn't let you down. I know there's many times in my life when I thought, I wish I hadn't said that. I'm sure it hasn't happened to anyone here, but it does to me. Be sure that your conversation does not let you down. Look at the words of command in Paul's letter that we have just heard. Slide 5, John. Obey, work, do, be blameless, shine, hold fast. That's quite a list, isn't it? Obey, work, do, be blameless, shine, hold fast. All following on after the word therefore. What's it there for? Because of what Jesus has done for us, for you and for me. And here's the result of your obedience, that God is at work within you. You are God's children. Often we forget that, I think. In our daily lives, in our place of work or school or prep, college, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, God is within us. You are God's children. You're God's lights in a very special way. That is what the Christian life is all about, growing to be like Jesus, having a blend of rest and activity, neither being one thing nor the other, but being a blend of peace and action at the same time. Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Peace and action. But it's not. I believe we can be busy about the Lord's work, yet we can still experience the peace of God within our hearts and within our lives. And as Christians, we can rest confidently because of this, and yet still actively pursue the goals that God sets before us. Look at the characters of a Christian. What should people be seeing in us? Obedience, responsibility, and sensitivity. Firstly, obedience. Being obedient to the word of God. Obedient to the teaching and life of Jesus. There are many people today who select some of God's words from the scriptures and make a theology out of them, but choose to deny others because it doesn't suit their personal theology or their lifestyle. They pick and choose. And this is a challenge to us, that we accept God's word, the whole Bible, in our lives, not just picking and choosing what bits we like and what bits we don't. Secondly, responsibility. Here the church has a role to play, but each one of you as individuals has to take personal responsibility for your own Christian growth. Each one of us has to take responsibility for our own Christian growth, whatever age we are, whatever we're doing. We have to take this seriously. Are we growing? Are you growing? Have you settled down? Are you like that person who said to me a few years ago, "Oh, God can teach me nothing new"? It's a word, isn't it? Are you gently floating backwards? Or are you actually growing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember the thrust of this whole letter, Philippians, which is press on. And again, I remind you again, you have a personal responsibility for your own Christian growth. Thirdly, sensitivity. We need to be sensitive to remember just how precious our salvation is. Sitting here, we can be very comfortable with actually realizing what it cost Jesus for you and I to be sitting here today. We can take it for granted. We think, well, it's happened for years, so it's okay. We need to be sensitive to the love of God that he has for each one of us. He sent Jesus to die for us, Jesus to live for us, Jesus to be with us. We can be so insensitive to that in our daily walks. We can get so busy with doing things and doing this and doing that, and we lose sight totally of why we can do these things, because Jesus is with us. We need to be like Jesus. So how can we be like Jesus? Well, firstly, we can because God chose us and loves us. Again, that's a challenge to each one here this morning. Do you know that God has chosen you? You're not here by accident. It's not a random selection process. God has personally chosen you. Secondly, Jesus has given us his life and his example. We want to know how to live? Read the Gospels. See what Jesus did. See how he lived. Thirdly, because we have the Holy Spirit of God within us. And again, I wonder how often we take this for granted. We have God, the Holy Spirit, living within us at this very minute. Are we sensitive to what he's saying to us? Are we conscious of God within us? Or do we just take it for granted? We can grieve him by doing things we know that are wrong. I wonder how often we do that. We can quench the Holy Spirit by when we're being led by God, we can say, no, we don't do that. God's saying, yes, I want you. No, I'm not going to do it. We quench the work of the Holy Spirit. God is calling us to be so alive, I think. And it's so easy, I think, certainly in the West here today, to be comfortable in our faith. And I think today God wants us to be uncomfortable. He wants us to go closer to him. He wants to stop grieving him. He wants to stop quenching his Holy Spirit when we're guided. God has set his love upon you, each one of you, because he chose you. Are you receiving that love, or are there just words being spoken from the front here? Do you receive the love of God deep inside your hearts? I think as we do, we will grow close to God. We've become more effective as witnesses to Jesus. And one thing too, I don't think God's ever going to give up on you. I know I've heard people say, well, I've reached a certain age, God's not going to speak to me now. I'm too young, like Jeremiah. Lord, I want to have a life first. Don't set me all these tasks to do. God loves you, and he's not going to give up on you. And there's more. From Philippians again. We are to do things without grumbling, questioning, or complaining. How about that? It's a challenge, isn't it? Do the work that God has called you to do and don't grumble about it. Don't argue. Don't complain. And how hard we find that at times in a church setting. It is so much easier to grumble, isn't it? We often don't tell people they're doing a good job or how great things are that they've done, but we're so quick to get that word of complaint, that little grumbling, just a spike and to cause a bit of problems. God says this, do it without grumbling, questioning or complaining. In one sense, we're to be childlike, having a very simple obedience to God. When we start to grumble, I think we're walking on very thin ice, because grumbling often leads to criticism. We're told not to have a critical spirit within us, and the promptings of self-interest. doing what I want to do. Goes on, we are called to be blameless, innocent, and without blemish. My words, if we take all these words from these few verses, we've got a real challenge on today, haven't we? All these things from this book of Philippians, just these, six, seven verses. We're called to be blameless, innocent, and without blemish. What a contrast and a challenge. And you and I, we're called to be different. We're called to be a challenge in the generation in which we live, because we live in a crooked and perverse generation. And amongst this wickedness that is not just over in the Far East, it's everywhere in the world, amidst all this wickedness, God calls you and me to shine, to be different, to be like Jesus, not to be like the rest of the world. So a question again, are we shining? Are you shining? Or you just settle down and think, well, I've done my bit, I'm not going to do any more. Again, a real challenge for us. Because you and I, we're partakers of the divine nature. Whether we like it or not, we are children of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. This passage is so full of so many things, that it's quite a job to take everything on, I think. We're called to be blameless in our daily lives. People see us how we live. Each day you are seen by people who know that you are Christians. Some people say, "What does it matter what other people think?" In the Lord's economy, it certainly does. Because he calls you to be a light in the darkness. He calls you to be like Jesus. He calls you to shine, to be blameless. God, that's a challenge, isn't it? Because whether we like it or not, we are walking witnesses for Christ. You may not think anyone notices you, but people do see you. They know where you come on a Sunday. They can see the way you live your lives, I hope, that are different to the rest of the world. And in our lives, we're being a very positive witness to Jesus. We're to shine as lights. When you think of that shining as light, can you imagine this room totally dark, blacked out, so you can't see that far in front of you? Put one light on, what a difference it makes, doesn't it? Now that's what God calls you and me to be in the world, to be that light that shines into the darkness. People say, wow, what's that? We're called to be like Jesus. We're called to be people who make a difference. We're called to live a life on a foundation of a personal Christian witness. We're all priests in God's sight too. I know it's not a title that's liked in the Baptist church very much, the word term priest, but in the Old Testament, the priest, as you know, was one who made sacrifices to God. We don't sacrifice animals and the like, thank God. What we can do is live a sacrificial life. What does that mean? What is a sacrifice? It is to put God first and not ourselves. We are to eliminate the selfish trinity. Me, myself, and I need to cross that out for a start and replace it with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You may think that's easy. I don't think it's easy at all. But that's what God is calling us to do. Not to put our self-interests at the top of everything we do, but to put God's interests at the top of everything we do. And if we're going to press on, which I pray we are, and be disciples of Jesus, and to run the race, as Paul puts it, we need vigour, we need zeal, we need determination, we need steadfastness. If we walk with the Lord, God will give us the strength that we need. All centres on that first word, if. Two letters. If we walk with the Lord, God will give us all the strength that we need. Do you remember that message from Haggai? Press on. He says in chapter 1, I think it's, don't sit about just watching, get on with it. Why and how? Because God is at work alongside us. Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Are you delighting yourself in the Lord? Are you growing as a Christian in your daily faith? Are you growing? Do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart? I pray that you do as we press on together. That we go out of here as joyful people, people full of the joy of the Lord. I expect you like that picture of myself. God calls us to be joyful, but above all, he calls us to be obedient, to follow him, to be like Jesus. So when you get home, it may be good to read through that passage from Philippians again. Just remind yourself of all the imperatives that are in there to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we will struggle on, fight on, grow on, press on together so that we can be lights in this dark age in which we live. Amen.